Well, I call this meeting to order, the study session. Welcome, welcome. Let's go ahead and have the Pledge of Allegiance.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
I'm going to ask Larry Backshaw to say an invocation prayer.
Our Father in heaven, we're grateful to be able to be here today at this meeting to discuss some of the moratorium issues. And we are extremely grateful for thy Son's atoning sacrifice and for the many blessings we've received, and especially for the moisture we've received recently. We ask thee to continue to bless us with more moisture and bless us with the circumstances that might allow us to proceed with our present plans and to be able to continue to increase our water supply and water production capacity. And we ask these blessings in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen.
Amen.
Let's take a pen out here. Let's go ahead and do a roll call, starting with Victor.
Victor Tyler, present.
Larry Bagshaw, present.
Corey Elswitz here.
George Rokowski, present.
Sharon Hillman, present.
Okay, we have a quorum, and we have a sixth member, Roger, who should join us soon. Great, so item number five is we can move right into, do we have anyone we can use as a test out there that they're hearing us okay?
Is the attorney on?
Steve Ween is.
We can hear you.
Oh, good. Thank you. And we heard you well as well. Thank you. Item number five, consideration and discussion of general unscheduled comments from the public. At this point, we had two blue cards online and one presented face-to-face during this meeting. So let's go with Diane first.
Mr. Chairman.
Yes.
Do you want to ask them to mute unless they're talking?
Yeah, online generally, it's best if you just stay muted unless you're talking. So sometimes it's just easy to forget. Diane's comment is with regard to the moratorium release. Thank you.
My name is Diane Buechner. I live at 3465 Whispering Pines Road. My husband and I have been here since 95, full-time since 2009. And we have a lot that we want to build on, and we have been waiting for 2.5 years. We're number 6 on the list, and I strongly feel that we should follow the list the way it is and not, I guess that would be option 1, because those of us that chose to follow the moratorium and not build, because we should have priority, I feel. Just because people build, we could have tried to build too and then just leave it like that. Had we known that was an option, maybe we would have, but we really believe that using option 1 is the fairest approach, especially after waiting 2.5 years. And we really appreciate all the work you guys are doing for us here, and thank you.
Thank you, Diane.
Thank you.
Thank you, thank you. Very much appreciated. The second one is from Pam Mason, who is not able to be here. I suppose protocol would allow me to read it.
Yes.
Yeah.
She says, regarding a moratorium and new water service, Community Relations Committee moved that the option of a deposit equal to up to the amount of the connection fee be considered by the board in lieu of a building permit. The deposit would be required to receive a letter of intent to serve. In the bold in bold, I do not agree with this attempt to perform an end run around the rules of the moratorium. Now, unbolded, that is to say those who want to jump ahead on the wait list bypassing those citizens patiently waiting for a water connection. At the inception of the list, applications and signups were to be placed strictly in date order to make sure people were treated fairly, first come, first serve. The board have discussed releasing a few meters a month, but with clear, concise conditions in place. Key factor would be consistent and improved water supplies. In addition, positive results on district efforts to improve the system, increase production of existing wells, new water resources, and drilling new wells. If conditions improve and remain consistent, then the release of a few water connections a month would be reasonable, subject to constant monitoring. The understanding being that PSWID is not bound to release connections every month should the system and production statistics prove otherwise. Respectfully, Pam. Okay, thank you, thank you. I think on both of these, we'll have good discussion on those issues today, for sure. Third is Bernard Narcy, and he has comments here, but he is also online. Bernard, would you like to speak to that, or would you like me to read it out loud to the audience? How would you like to handle that?
You have to unmute him.
Is that us muting him?
No, he's muted himself.
He's muted himself.
I'll send him an unmute request.
If we don't get clarity with him, I will read it in the hopes that it covers what he wants to. So while we're working on that, it's the meter release plan. I am in opposition. I don't know exactly what he's opposing. Here's the comments, though. Has the board considered reviewing the status of the waiting list for a water meter? Perhaps some may have changed plans and dropped off. Also, when selecting the distribution of meters, do commercial properties, developers, and contractors receive preferred status over an individual wanting to build? So again, absolutely dead center on some of the issues we'll be discussing during this. So that will come up. I'm not going to respond to it right now just because we'll get right into that. Right. Bernard, I'm going to assume that we handled it, not the answer, but...
I think the questions will be answered.
Yeah.
You'll get more questions.
They will. In the absence of any other blue cards, let's go ahead and move to item 6, which is a study session. We don't have to move into study sessions or anything like that.
No, there's no
motion required.
No.
All right, we are entering a study session about the moratorium and water release plan. George Gorkowski, our vice chairman, has been the driver on this and is going to stand. And those of you online should be able to see his PowerPoint presentation once we put it up there.
Christy's working on it.
And when we're all looking at the PowerPoint, we would not be able to see you on the screen, so you'll need to shout out if you want to make a comment.
Well, let's save comments for the end.
Right.
I think that we'll, anybody on the board that wants to clarify and comment, no problem. Let's not debate it or anything. This is just information. No decisions are made, and until the board votes on it, there won't be any decisions made. So.
That's good.
And it's slow as heck. Yeah. While she's doing this, I'd just like to say the information I put together is partially from engineering reports, it's partially from information we created through some looking at data. But some of the dates and stuff could change. I already got a surprise today, so you know, the dates that are on the moratorium, a couple of things have might shift slightly, so don't hold me accountable to every single day and date, please. But, do we get it?
And we're not seeing the who's on now, but the same person who responded that you can hear us, can you respond that you're hearing George? Because he's not in the same spot we are.
Can you see it?
Yeah, we need to know if you can see it and if you can you can hear George.
I think we got him all muted. New technology.
I just don't want to lose him.
I've only muted a couple people. Most people.
Can anybody hear us right now? Please respond online.
You are breaking up, but some of it's getting through.
Are you seeing the slide presentation?
Yes, that's showing up all right now. It looks like a picture of George's calendar, but yes, the PowerPoint was showing up a moment ago.
Oh, it was, okay. All right, let us know when the PowerPoint's up.
and let us know if he's breaking up.
It was showing as an option, but now we're back to the calendar.
That's the district's calendar. You got to reshare, maybe?
Who is this, by the way?
There it is. It's showing a highlight. It's probably on another screen that you don't have available. You normally have multiple monitors and then maybe you switch to just a single laptop. It's probably hidden over on screen two or three, which is not available.
That's PowerPoint.
Can I ask who that is that's talking to us?
Yeah, make sure we share there. I think that's
right. Yeah, my name's Louis Presti.
Hi, Louis. There you are. So if we're doing sound tests and video tests at any time, I'll just call on you and see how we're doing.
Yeah, can you come down and fix this?
Let me reshare it so I can.
Okay. You got the wrong fella for that, I think.
Believe it or not, we ran through tests twice already before this, before we started, and it worked perfect then.
Yeah, there might be more folks on soaking up bandwidth, or maybe when you switch to the PowerPoint too, that might have chewed up some bandwidth.
Yeah. All right. One of them's up there. Now. This one right here is up. How do we make that the primary, I guess?
If they can see
it. Are you seeing that, the presentation now for the PowerPoint?
Yeah. Yes, sir.
Okay.
That may be all you're going
to do. All right. I'm going to talk to most of the points on it anyway, so. In fact, let me have it just in case I need it. I don't have this stuff memorized.
I need control of it.
Okay, you can still see it?
Yes, sir.
All right.
Okay, let me know when the advanced slide.
All right. Welcome, everybody. This is a culmination of lots and lots of hours of work and lots of help from lots of people at the district here. So I'd first like to thank all of them, but they're not all here, but I'd like to put that out there first. Like I tell people, I'd rather sing in front of people than do this, so cut me some slack, please. All right, guys, flip the page. All right, so we're going to have two topics to discussion today. One, we're going to talk about the present moratorium and the progress we've made towards at least trying to lift it. Then second is the meter release plan. Please remember, anything we talk about in here is information only right now. Everything has to go to the board meeting next week and be voted on, whatever decisions are made. So nothing's getting voted on tonight, no decisions being made. This is just information. And the first part, after we go through the moratorium, I'll pause for some questions. The board, as I said, if you need a clarifying question, I'll be happy to answer it, but let's not debate. You know, let's not make it a debate is what I'm saying right here. All right, guys, flip it. Okay, current situation, as everybody knows, we're in a moratorium. Caused most basically by supply versus demand. It's not about a drought. It's not about wells going dry. It's about we have a finite amount of wells. They put out a finite amount of gallons per minute. And we have a finite amount of people that are drawing from that. And so we're really talking more of a system issue than we are at our case where we got wells drying up and water going away. So first let me say that, because I think initially it got put out there like it's a drought issue. It's not a drought issue. The drought hasn't affected it to this point. And Paul, I believe in the last 2 years we haven't had one well go dry, right?
Correct.
Okay. So it's supply and demand. There's a lot of reasons why that the moratorium was put in place. there's some poor maintenance of wells. What happens if you don't maintain wells? They go from 25 gallons per minute down to 12. So if you don't do the maintenance, the bales and brushing, you lose some capacity there from the well. Then there's legacy infrastructure. Those of you around here know that the pipes are getting dug up in some of the streets. We have major leak issues. We're slowly but surely taking care of that, and I'll go over that later. Our point that we want to get across is, whatever decision is made, we want to make sure we have a consistent water supply, not something that we have to later on say, we can't maintain this water supply. Okay, so it's very important. And the other thing to understand is, I know all a lot of people are focusing on the deep well. We are looking for water sources all the time. Not just the deep well. We are trying to find water sources all the time that are viable. Go ahead, flip it. Okay, so I want to talk about Blue Ridge Reservoir. These are just quick recaps. We were asked by SRP if we'd be interested. We have signed 9 non-disclosure agreements that go over all the details, so I can't discuss details. What I can tell you, it is highly cost prohibitive. If you think about it, I'll give you simply, besides bringing the infrastructure down here, it would take 2 years to do a study to run the pipes across because of environmental issues. You have to build a water treatment plant because all that water is above ground. And so water treatment plants, what, 25 million, 40 million, what did we, do you remember what we got for cost?
70.
71 million total.
So needless to say, it wasn't practical cost-wise, but it also wasn't practical for the moratorium. Because the amount of time it would have taken to develop that would have taken years. You can't just, you know, plug a hose in and drag it down here. So come on up, Roger. So we decided we had to look at alternatives and find a short-term solution and not just a long-term solution. Please. So some of the things we've done to mitigate water, or provide more water and to mitigate the shortage issue. We did a bunch of projects, or we started a bunch of projects, and this is going back 2 years ago. We went and looked at where all our major leaks were. We decided which ones were the biggest ones, the biggest problems. We obtained USDA and WIFA funding, got bids from engineering firms, had them designed, got projects approved, and now we're starting to roll them out, as some of you see on the signs. We're putting in these, and there's more to come still. And these are in the areas that we had the worst leaks. We retained a water geology company called Geologic. They basically went and gave us, I don't know, how many sites? Five sites that were the primary areas that we could drill a deep well. Out of those five sites, some of them SRP wouldn't allow because they have, because we'd be infringing upon the Fossil Creek stuff.
The ice has been paused.
Some of it, we had septic system entanglements. You know, which we could have got around on some of those. But the main reason, biggest problem is to drill a deep well, you need a big rig. And we needed enough room where they could set it up and do the drilling. So we ended up selecting the Ignite property, we purchased it, and we're preparing it to put in a new deep well. Those dates we got, August and September, they might have changed a little today. I'm not sure exactly what they're gonna be, but it might be a little delay, but we are in line to get a deep well drilled, I think fairly soon. I'm hoping fairly soon. It's very important that it does get drilled. We've taken other steps. We basically created a plan. We're gonna rehabilitate a lot of these existing wells. We saw historically some of them had produced greater amounts of volume of water in the past. And the reason we just wanted them not now is because basically, if you go down the pipes, down into the ground, there's little slots in those pipes, and they slowly but surely get corroded and dirty. And what it does is it forces mostly all the water to come from the bottom, if you think about it. And you lose all the extra flow that you get coming from the sides. So we're rehabilitating. We got a plan to rehab them. We're seeing the early results are good, very positive. We're seeing an increased amount of gallons per minute, so that's a good thing. We've gone and secured key replacement parts, critical parts for our top producing wells. We basically have, for the number one well, I think we got almost everything. I think we're waiting for a harness or something. Yeah. But basically, Anything breaks, we have the parts to replace immediately. That was part of our plan. We've been repurposing the water tanks because one key is overall volume, but of course in a community like ours, on the weekends we get more people. We have to rely on tanks for short-term capacity. That's usually about 2 days. So some will be more, but the short-term capacity is about 2 days, so we rely on tanks for that, for when we have weekends. Weekenders come up and the draws more. And we've done something, we've compiled some data. When I first started here a couple of years ago, oh God, it seems longer. there wasn't a lot of data on our supply and demand. There wasn't a lot of data on everything we did. Or it was there, but it wasn't being pulled together. So we've created some data systems so we can monitor things now, and we can tell where we're at, and also where we'll be in the future, or at least close to it. Go ahead. So first chart I want to put up here. Some people see lines. Top two lines, blue and red. Blue is our total well output. That's gallons per day. That's the total well output. The red line below, that gap is, we occasionally have a well that's down, has to be repaired, or it has to be brushed, has to have a pump change. So that's about the gap between our best output, our total output, and what realistically we have at any given time. Very small gap. So these guys have been doing a good job of keeping the wells up, keeping them going. The yellow line is our actual demand history. Now, May, June, and July are actually this year. But everything else is from history, what we got. So what you see basically, to meet most water needs, they ask you to have a 2x gap between what your demand is and what your supply is. That's normally how they look at it. So we're well within the line of that. This line is a theoretical line that I put in place after doing some long thinking about it and looking at it, which is basically a line of about 1.5, which means a little less conservative, but I think that's okay, and I'll explain why as we go forward. Okay, so what are we seeing now? Our supply is gradually increasing. In the well, we get reports every 2 weeks of the well outputs, gallons per minute, so we're monitoring them. We're seeing that the gallons per minute in our available water supply is gradually increasing from the different efforts we've been taking between fixing leaks, responding quicker to leaks, a whole bunch of stuff, but all the things that we're doing to mitigate it. We're at the current maximum daily demand, which is the 2x number. So we're right within the normal rules that you would expect to follow, okay? As water projects are completed, we expect about 0.72 gallons per minute increase in supply for every 1,000 foot from leaks. And how I got that, I'll tell you, rough estimate, we looked at 1 year. We looked at, I believe it's 2 years ago, or was it last year?
2 years ago.
2 years ago. We looked at how much water loss we had. We looked at how much water pipe we put in. And then we just took the numbers down and figured out a ratio of,
well, get over
okay,
here.
This is about what we've seen.
Get over here.
This is what we see. We've seen about a 0.72 gallon per minute increase on the lines that we've repaired in the past. So that's where that number came.
Increase.
Whoever's online, please mute. And now we're looking at developing a deep well. Deep well is very important, and I'll get into that in a little while. But it's significant. It's been bid. We're getting ready to drill, hopefully soon. Might get delayed a little, but hopefully soon. It's significantly important to the future of releasing more meters. I'll put it that way. I can't make it any more straight line. Yeah.
Hey, and just a comment real quick, because another thing that we haven't mentioned in here is the community's efforts to conserve water.
Oh, yeah.
And that's significant, and we want to express thankfulness, right, to the community,
yep,
for doing that consistently, and all the campaigns to make people aware, and the community response.
We did see some results last year from that. where water usage went down overall. Not significant, but every gallon helps, right? Okay? So, but with all this data I give you, there's some adjustments we have to make and to make this happen. One, it's firm capacity, which is that 2x level, is based on that if your largest well was down, you would still be able to meet the needs. Now, as you saw in the last graph, our firm capacity was pretty high. Okay. But with all the spare parts and the teamwork that they put together right now to make sure that we have replaceable parts for the top two wells, right? So we feel that we don't have to do the firm capacity on our largest well anymore, because we have an anomaly. We have one well that's really big, and all the rest of them are a little smaller, right? And so it looks, when you look at it, makes firm capacity look a lot worse than it is really. So. So we've gotten all the critical parts replacements for those two largest wells. Historically, 10% every month, historically, and Sharon looked back quite a bit, 10% we get no reads. No reads are quite simply a person didn't use any water at all. So the 10% of our whole water service is not used every month. So, but when we were looking at the theoretical demand stuff, that's included in there. So you gotta reduce that 10% up. Normal cities like Payson, Phoenix, have about 70 to 90% full-time occupation with residencies, which means that you got someone there all month. In cities like Pine and Strawberry, it's under 50%, which means that when we plan that we're gonna have to have water all month. And we plan per those numbers. So, but in reality, we're actually about half of what that reality is. So I made some adjustments to the data and looked at it. Once again, I'll start at the top. This is the top line is future existing capacity. I call it future existing because this is a project that's completed. This is a project that's completed. And then I want you to look at this one. This is the deep well. And this is just the estimate. It could be much higher. This is a conservative estimate. It could be up here. We won't know until we drill it, for sure. The second line is the new firm capacity with the second largest well down, and not the largest, so it actually looks more realistic. The green line was our current average demand. That's the theoretical for how many customers we got, how much water is used to supply on a daily basis, okay? That's a theoretical one. Adding 5 meters a month keeps us still below the firm capacity when you look at the model this way. And I will say this, line here, which is 5 meters per month, is very conservative, because as we add those 5 meters a month, we're gonna have half the time people aren't gonna use them or not be up here, right? We're not gonna have, so this line's probably gonna be shallower, but I use this theoretical, probably shallower. Maybe half, a little more, 60%. So what this is telling me is that we're not in a critical point to have to worry about having a solid shutdown moratorium, but we are at a point where we have to look at how the demand is going to increase going forward. Because there comes a point, this line will meet this line. And I'm telling you, it's close to what the list is. So if we don't get the well, there's a good possibility we're gonna have to have a moratorium again unless we find additional water. So the deep well is very important.
So we are gonna get it or we're not gonna get it?
Well, they're gonna drill it. No, it's already not paid for, but it's planned, engineered. They're supposed to start drilling in a couple of weeks. It might be delayed, but that's all. Okay, so with the adjustments, we can see that even adding 5 customers will still be in a fairly secure point.
Yeah.
For an amount of time. And I'm going to say probably September 2024 is when we're going to have to look at this again. We're going to need to monitor that supply and demand, not only coming out of the wells, the demand you're using, but also we also have to monitor tank levels. And I think, Corey, you've been monitoring them
every day.
And even over the holidays, and we'll be doing another one over Labor Day, we've been noticing that we've been able to maintain a fairly high level on all the tanks. And actually, there's only probably one tank that really gets stressed out the most. The rest of them aren't near as bad. I don't know which one that is. You probably do.
No.
I know there's one. I don't know.
It's 300K.
Is that what it is? Yeah. That's the one that gets stressed out the most. The rest of them, they almost never get on, or they don't get on near as much. So we're going to need to monitor that to make sure that short-term capacity, which is what tanks are, they're not supply. They're just short-term extra capacity. So when you got a lot of people up here, so that those tanks maintain their levels, and we don't have a situation where one runs dry. Okay. So conclusions and recommendations, and this is just me speaking. This has got to be a board vote so that they understand.
Starting now.
My conclusion is that we should release 5 meters a month starting in September.
Yeah, for $20 we can release 6.
that it would be still safe. It should not affect our water supply or put it in any jeopardy. How we release it, we'll discuss that in the second part. We can look at a lot of different things. The current monthly monitoring of supply, demand, and tank storage level data has to continue. We have to make sure that we have enough supply coming out of those wells to go with the demand. But we do have a big buffer event. We got to reevaluate the supply demand needs when we get the deep well function. If the deep well is a home run, we could be good for quite some time. If it's a base hit, we'll have to look at it. But understand, there is a finite amount of water. And it's not that it's going away, it's just that we won't have enough wells for the supply. Because there are plenty of people who have their own wells there. Matter of fact, this guy, I'm not going to say his name, I better not. There's a guy from the pond, okay, with his own well. So there's water. It's not that. It's that we don't have it in our system. Where am I at? So depending on that data, when we get that deep well, is really where we got to take our next snapshot of what I'm hoping to attain is that when we get the new deep well and we know what's at, we'll be able to say with some accuracy, because we'll have data of how the additional meters have already affected us. We'll know what that curve is a little better. I'm hoping at that point we can say, all right, our system will allow for this many more meters, and that's it, until we develop. I want to get to the point where something that's hard so that people know in the future that it doesn't mean we're not going to try to get additional water supplies. We always will be looking for additional water supply. But I want to be able to make sure we can forecast when we should have, when and if we should have another moratorium. You know, the last one wasn't forecastable. Even though there was a good reason to have it, because we did have a tremendous amount of leaks and we were losing tons of water, I think 30% plus. So, you know, it was a pretty bad situation. Please. Okay, one other conclusion. When you looked at that supply versus demand, you got that big gap there. There's two things that fill that gap that we don't think about. One is water loss. You know, we have tank break, lines go down. That's part of that gap. And so we want to minimize that. And then the other part of that gap is just excess supply that we're not using. Matter of fact, we a lot of times are able to shut off wells because we don't need the water at the time. When we have a heavier demand, we turn it back on. So field operations becomes critical to this. Our new field operations guy here, Steve. let's give him a applause. I told him he's crazy, but. Field operations becomes important because repair time on leaks, I can't say enough. We've had leaks that last 6, 7, 8 months, maybe even longer in the past. That's all excess water, excess supply that we could be using. So it becomes important that we find leaks and we repair them real quickly. And it also becomes very important that when we have wells down, that we have plans to get them back up and running as quick as we can.
Right.
So I'm making a suggestion, that field operations monitors those two things. Because for one thing, I'll tell you, they're getting better. You know, if you're taking, you know, a month, 2 weeks to fix a leak, and you get it down to 5 days, that's a good reason to celebrate with your guys. Right?
I agree.
Okay, same thing with the well. So in conclusion, those are the recommendations I would make right now. Go ahead, Christy. So, Any questions or discussions? Anybody want to talk about while I get a drink?
I have a question. So what you're saying is that pretty much the leaks have been fixed?
There's still more than fixed.
But there...
There's more projects, yes.
And it's going to be continually working on?
To a point. We have a limited amount of money. we want to prioritize the ones that we thought were the worst historically, and those are the ones that Sharon went out and got USDA money for. So we have, what, how many projects all together?
I think she's talking about the leaks.
I think she is, too.
Oh, okay, I'm sorry.
Yeah, she's talking about the leaks and how soon they're fixed and that type of stuff.
Oh, okay, I'm sorry.
Yeah, because I didn't know that. I just read in the paper, that we had all these leaks, and then no one ever heard that a lot of them have been fixed, so that's good news.
Oh, yeah, a lot of them did get fixed. How many do you get a week? So we get new leaks all the time. What we're hoping in the areas that we had really high amount of leaks, all the new piping, we'll solve most of that. That's our goal. And then you're never going to be no leaks because we can't replace every single piece of plumbing in the town. There's just not enough money.
Yeah, and maybe even with fallback. In a water district of our nature, because Paul sees a lot, if you're doing most things right, how much water are you still losing as a percentage?
Mr. Chairman and Board, I was at a conference of three states, California, Nevada, Arizona, 4,000 attendees, and there was a talk I went to on your behalf, and they said the national average for American Water Works Association records is 24% is about the best you'll get. And we were as
35.
20, no, we were 27 this last fiscal year.
But we okay. have been.
Yeah, we have been up to 40 almost.
We've been as high as 38-40%.
Yeah, so you're moving in the right direction, and of course the law of diminishing returns, the last little bit is harder to get than the first big bite.
Now, if we had all the best piping in the world.
Does that answer your question?
It does, perfectly, thank you.
A world class one I heard is 10%, but that's with a new system that was designed to not leak. Our system, half of it was made with sewer pipes, I think, when the contractors put them in. Okay, they weren't looking at saving money when they put the infrastructure in. Mm-hmm. Okay, any other questions?
I have one.
Okay.
Or a couple of. What type of piper is in the ground? Is it concrete, galvanized, black iron, general, cast iron?
Some of it's asbestos or.
Asbestos.
Yeah, we've got a lot of galvanized. The product that we're using now is 900, 6 inch. Really
poly.
Thick.
So yeah, PVC.
Poly?
Yeah.
Yes, sir.
Yeah.
Poly and not galvanized.
Not,
thick,
no.
Thick wall.
What size are you replacing it with, diameter?
We're replacing, well, for some cases, we're upgrading 4 to 6.
4 to 6 inch?
Yeah. For the most part, we're trying to maintain.
From 4 to 6 inch?
From 4 inches.
Correct.
Okay. 6 inches. We're upgrading. Oh, okay. So existing 4, we're upgrading to 6.
Good. Okay. So the plan is not to replace all of the pipe.
We right now we do not have the financing to do what I call the pipe.
I understand that.
And then
what is a deep well to you?
A deep well, Paul, I'll let you describe what you consider a deep well since he's in the industry more.
Mr. Chairman, Board, there, as Larry would know, there's an upper amount of water, upper alluvial or upper unit. There's usually a middle unit, but in fractured rock, not necessarily. And then there's the lower unit. The deep well goes to the lower unit. So if you're next to the creek and the creek is flowing, a lot of times that water will migrate into the shallow wells that maybe have 60 feet of a water table. That might go up or down 20 feet based upon kind of a wet or dry type season. But the deep well usually is subject to a steady level. So we see in the borehole that the county did about 1,100 feet, 1,000 feet is where the water table was in about a 2,000 foot hole.
Okay, so your deep well you consider about 2,000 feet deep?
It's in the lower area. So depending on where the bedrock is and where the alluvial or the cracked is, it could be less than that, but it's not that upper unit that goes up and down
Does that help?
Yeah, some of that airport water.
So think about 1,000 foot. We're going to drill the new well. The first borehole is going to go down to about 2,000 feet. And we hope to have water at about 1,000 feet. And then we can set the pump down in there so we've got a good amount of water over the top and pump for a long time.
And when is that going to start?
We had scheduled it this fall. And we just have information that the driller is trying to get a drill rig clear. And but we've already contracted with somebody, went out to bid, and we have the funding for it. So
do you know what the diameter is going to be?
Down at the bottom be 8 inch.
Eight.
At the bottom. If we have 8 inch or larger, then we can get a good sized pump in there with the motor and all that sort of thing.
You can get a 6-inch sub in there.
Yeah, it may be a 4-inch pump.
Talking about
it. Depends on how much water there is.
Production.
Yeah.
And maybe it's inferred, but I'll say it anyway. In another way of saying what Paul said is that deep water, in theory, right, we're not taking any water from what we're sucking now. In other words, if you drill a 2,000 foot well, do the other wells stop producing or produce less? The theory is no, because you're in a different
source of water. It's shielded past that area anyways. Right. So it can't take in water from those upper levels.
You can cement it off too.
Yeah, I don't know exactly how they do it. They use some sort of sludge. I can't remember the name of it.
Yeah, and Mr. Chairman, sounds like our visitor here has a good knowledge.
You want to be on the board?
Things.
We got an open spot.
I drilled thousands of wells down through Laughlin, Bullhead, Kingman.
There you go.
I think I
do not want to get back into business after 29 surgeries.
I think I've talked to you. You live pretty near where the county borehole was, I think.
Yeah, there was Strawberry. I think I did talk.
Yeah, we talked.
There's a monitoring well there.
Yeah, that's the one.
That's about 1,300 feet deep, isn't it?
It is now, yeah.
Oh, okay. Yeah.
Anyway, so Mr. Chairman, our hydrologist that's designing the well design up at up there where the deep well, we currently have a shallow well right there that's operating, and we asked them about that, and they said the way we're going to drill this well, you'll be able to continue operating that well because, as you indicated, it's drawing from the upper unit, and that this new well would be sealed in such a way that's coming from the lower unit.
Thank you.
So they could use both of them.
That's right.
Thank you.
Whoever's online, please mute your mic, please.
And we intend to use both of them.
Yeah. I think they said maybe shut down a day or two. It was going to be fairly short, right? Because they adjusted the...
Well, Mr. Chairman, he indicated that they will want to shut off the well that's operating right now until they get down a good bit so that they can be able to seal off that area, and then we'll be able to restore that well to operation. So I don't know, it might be 200 feet before they would start to operate that existing well, but it depends on what the cuttings are and what it's looking
like. What's that?
Yeah, so when we start going, I'll keep the place next to the desk so you can walk by and
see. It was good, yeah. Yeah, I know. It's not been hot enough.
Whoever's online, please mute your mic.
We have a location. It's surprised. I mean, excuse me.
I'm going to get everybody's
stuff. Talk to you later. I'm just talking.
All right.
For sure. I was just noticed in some of your presentation, George, you indicated something happened today about affecting potentially the well.
What he just talked about.
Oh, okay.
They're waiting. They're trying to
just
get a rig down there.
Okay.
And
so
might
it's
be
nothing
away.
Else that.
No, yeah, yeah. Well, I just didn't want you to hold me to that date because if it slides a couple of weeks, I don't remember. I said, you said.
Okay. So just rig related.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
Okay.
How is this going to affect any of the rigs, the cost? I know you have a grant.
No. Our grant, Derek. Believe it or not, we have loans and there's some forgivable principal, but it's not much. The whole idea that there's all this free money out there, it just isn't free. Especially for our case, where we're actually not in bad financial shape. If you were derelict, maybe something happened, but no. Rates aren't based on that. All the loans and everything are based into our operation model of our budget. So that's consistent. We already planned for that.
Okay.
rates are determined, usually we get an outside organization, right? That does
it was the rate study, and for the next 4 years, their rate increase is only 3% each year.
Yeah.
Thank you.
Unless the board decides to change it, I don't expect that to happen. The money for the loans and payments and that type of stuff has already been figured out in our budgets.
Good. Good bless.
Any questions? More questions? All right.
Yeah, hi. This is Louis Pressy again. I have a question, and it's just kind of regarding the go-to-meeting status. Is there a way the organizer of the meeting can mute caller 9, caller 8, and caller 10? That's where a lot of the background noise comes through.
Oh, thank you, Lou. We're worried about losing the presentation. that's the concern.
Sorry, I couldn't even hear that. It broke up.
I said we're worried about losing the presentation. She goes back to that screen.
Oh, okay, completely understand. All right.
I can't. Proceed.
Also, if you have multiple laptops in the same room, chairman from the boardroom, if you can mute all of those mics as well, because you're going to be there's a lot of interference, yeah, so I can hear every other word.
I'm not sure.
And actually, whoever's speaking right now, you're one of the lines that's been bleeding through that lady that just spoke. So maybe if you can mute your line when you're done speaking, that might help as well.
Thanks. All right. All right, it doesn't sound like we have any more questions. Let's go on to the next slide. So here we are. My what I'm proposing is we release 5 meters, not for an infinite amount of time, but until the new well comes up or until we see that the demand start to cross that 70% line. But we have to figure out how we want to release the meters. I have no preference. I just put some ideas up there. So the first thing, nobody's driving anything to go one way or another, just to let you know. I actually have no skin in the game when it comes to that. So let's talk about it. There's really, I propose a couple different release options just to start the conversation, but I really wanted to have everybody come up with their ideas. So go ahead. Okay, so the first option, exact order list. We just go down 1 to 0 all the way down. If there's a developer who's got 20 in a row, he's gonna go in front of everybody else. Just wanna make sure everybody understands that.
Why?
Well, not in front of everybody else, at his spot.
Right, at his spot. So I'm just saying, so there were developers that put down 15 in a row. So that's the only reason why I came up with an option two, by the way. That's the only reason, because I was hoping we could serve more people who need it sooner. So basically, subject there. Some pros, it's simple, it's fair, get on the list. The cons, like I said, if there's people that are just getting meters so they can sell the land and they're not gonna use for a while, we won't be able to. We're going to incorporate that demand in there, but we're never going to see it. But it also takes away from someone who might need water sooner from getting a meter, okay? Then the other thing is when selected in this meter, I put 30 days, but the board's got to vote on what that amount of time. From the time you're notified that you've been selected to get a meter, you're going to have a time clock that says you got this much time, might be 30, might be 60, depends what the board wants to come up with, where you're going to have to pay for all the upfront services. If you don't pay within that time clock, you'll lose your place on the list. We can't have people get say, okay, I'm on the list, and then wait 2 years before they decide to put their new meters in and pay the cost. So that's the pros and cons, way I saw it at least, of plan one. Plan two, it's very complicated, but let me see if I can make it easy. It's almost the same, but different. I've heard that someplace before. So basically, when you come up on the list, if you have a current residence and you need water, you'll immediately get a WellServe and you'll pay your fees and you'll be connected. If you don't have a current residence built, but you have a build plan, or you plan on building and put a build plan in, then we will issue a WellServe letter. And then when your well's completed, you'll come back with the building permit number and stuff, and then you'll pay the fees and you'll hit your meter. If you don't have a build plan and you just have a vacant lot and you're sitting on it, you'll go to MISBOS, which means you'll go back up here. You'll still be on top of the list, But we won't issue a meter until you have a build plan. That's option two. Steve and I came up with, we actually went down to the county, we talked about it. We thought it might be a little more fair for people in these ward to get it quicker. That's just the second option we came up with. Any questions on that? It's a little confusing,
yeah,
I know.
Yeah, take time on this. Let's take time on this.
Flip to the next. Oh, yeah, I'm going to leave that up, I guess.
I have a question on that. When I went to get my plans and my permit through the county, they will not issue a permit without the well-served letter.
That's right.
So how would that work?
We will provide you with a well-served letter, as long as you're going to go to the county and get build plans. What we're going to ask you to do is go to the county, get your build plans, give us your building permit number when you do it, and then you're getting your meter.
It's yours. They can't get it.
I have a question.
So what they need from us is they come to us with plans.
Yes.
All right? We'll give them the Wilson letter. Then they'll want to apply and get their permit.
Right. That's what I said. I'm sorry. I said when you're getting ready, we'll give you the will serve letter will be given to you. Right. Will serve is not a guarantee, just to let you know. It is saying that you're on the list and we're going to provide you as the next customer. Basically, maybe step through it again. So we'll just get on to this point. If you have a vacant lot and you plan on building, yes, you come to us and say, I'm going to build. We'll give you a will serve letter. So you'll have it when you go to county, you'll have it when you go to your finance. However, until you come back with an approved building permit number, and as you went to the county and got your build permit number, we won't issue the meter. Basically, this could be a year. It could be a year.
Okay,
I'm
sorry.
You know, just depending. But anyways, the point of it was to try to get water in the hands of people that need it the most, I guess. Why don't you flip that real quick? So some of the pros, the new services will still be provided per the list. That doesn't change at all. When vacant lots come up on the list, they'll be delayed until they have a build plan, but they'll get their will serve letter, so they can go ahead and do whatever they want to. Those presently or in the near future are building on their lots, like I said, will provide will serve letter. Those with vacant lots will not need to pay all the pine, strawberry, water fees until they come back with their building permit number, so they can delay the fees. So that's one of the advantages. And of course, we're going to monitor the facts. The cons, basically, vacant lots will be moved down because they'll stay on the top of the list. Think of it this way. They come up to you and you say, yeah, I'm going to build, but I'm not ready. Here's your will serve letter. Okay, I'm going to get my plans approved. When he comes back with their plans, if he doesn't come back with plans, what happens is his name will go to the top of the list. I'll have an asterisk saying awaiting build plans. And as soon as the build plan comes in, he's on top of the list again. So you don't really lose your spot, but it provides water. It takes care of that situation with a contractor who wants 20 meters in a row. Okay?
But does it? Because the contractor who has the 20 plans probably already has the plans.
Believe me, the contractors are lots of lots that are vacant. They're just trying to get water meters. So that was the design behind me and Steve came up with. So Steve and I, say it right, George. There we go. So option three. I want everybody, if you got ideas, let me know.
I have a question about option one and two. In a scenario where, I'm within the first five of the list, my house is actually complete and simply just waiting on a water meter. Hypothetically speaking, say you approve one of those two, option A, option B, and I were to show up the next day with a check for the full amount of getting the water meter, what would the timeline be or time frame be to actually get the meter installed and up and running? How long of a lead time are we looking at there? Is that something you can answer or do you know?
Paul, could you probably give us I don't have an answer to that, but we have someone who does.
It's actually in our rules and regulations.
120 business days.
Yeah.
The field crew, once everything is paid and settled and the service order is completed, the field crew has 120 business days to install the meter according to our rules and regulations right now.
Okay. Now, assuming that's all taken care of as far as, you know, I paid you what I owe you. But that should satisfy the county building inspector's requirement to ultimately pass the final inspection. You know, so assuming that I've got everything in order and it's just a matter of getting that meter installed, do you believe that the building inspector would go ahead and approve final?
I couldn't answer that. I'm sorry. I don't have enough knowledge about that. I will say this, though. We have 120 days, but if we're going to release 5 meters a month, we're going to try to get 5 meters connected a month. Yeah. Or else it's worthless. So we're gonna put the pressure on our operations manager to make that happen.
Well, I agree with that timeline.
And candidly, I'm falling on my own sword here. Perhaps I should know that rule. I'm hearing that for the first time. My guess is when we put that in place, or when the previous board put it in place, it may have even tried to factor in lead times to get meters.
Correct.
We have meters. We have meters
okay.
for the next while, right? So there's no reason 120 days makes sense at all, right?
Well,
so, yes, comment?
Mr. Chairman, from a technical standpoint, if the service line was already connected to the main, brought into the meter box, his line or the customer's line was from the house out to the meter box, and it going out and setting a meter in an existing meter set, that's about how long it takes to do that.
So it's really quick.
If you have to dig the road and find the main and connect that and bring the line in, and then the resident has to run their line and get that inspected, then that I'm sure the intent of this is to give the district up to 120
yeah.
days.
Yeah, so, I was just echoing George's so comment that we wouldn't intend to go that long.
I didn't know if this person already has all the lines in and just simply doesn't have a meter in the box. So I don't know his basis.
Does that help, Lewis?
Yeah, that's music to my ears. Thank you.
Okay.
Great.
And also I'd like to put out there, we plan to reevaluate when the new well comes on in September. We have all the meters we need right now on hand to make it till then. We don't have to, we've got, so meters, having meters until that point, which is about 60 meters, is, well, not all, we got 35 on hand, but we got 100 in order right now that we should have long before that.
Yes.
So it won't be not having a meter as being the issue. By the way, aren't these study groups great? We can actually talk.
I just go back to the fairness factor and the fact that we've been waiting 2.5 years abiding by the moratorium, not going ahead and building, and I just feel like, you know, the list is the list and it should not have all these, you know, idiosyncrasies in my...
Diane?
Yeah.
My understanding is that if you're number 30, that option 2 would get you a meter faster than option 1.
I don't know.
If there are builders in there or people who are not ready to build, they don't lose their spot on the list, but they do temporarily. You jump up.
But if there's somebody that has a house, then what you're saying is somebody already has a house built, but they're after me. They're going to get it before me. That's the way I read that.
No.
They would only get
it. No, only if they're on the list ahead of you.
Okay.
Oh, hang on. They would get it before you if you said, I don't have plans and I don't intend to build.
I have plans, not totally completed, but they're in the architects. We have the septic and with the engineer, but I don't know about the whole timing thing. That's what I'm concerned about is, you know, that second option, we might be really close.
Well, in this second option, if you're number 5, 10, whatever, and you came up, we'd say, you're up on the list, and you'd say, okay, and we'd issue you a will serve. You could then take that will serve to the county and to your finance, say, I have a will serve. Go down and kind of get your building permit number, because you already apparently got the permit already.
We are in the process of getting our plans drawn for the septic and the engineer with, you know, the septic and the plans with the architect. But we have been clearing the lot too, and if we had the meter, we could potentially, if it was dry, if it was wet enough, we could potentially burn that, you know, brush and all that. We could be doing that if we had water.
Well, it couldn't do clear because we're in stage one, but yes.
No burn right now.
No burn right now. That's all I'm saying.
But she raises the point, right, that if on this chart, is your current residence built? No. Do you have building plans ready for submission?
Not quite.
No.
Yeah.
You would get bypassed by the next
right.
person.
Exactly. But we're
but you're on the top of the list.
Yeah, but
yeah, that's you would go right back
spot.
To the top.
I understand.
And as soon as you're ready.
As soon as you're ready. But now on the other scenario, you're gonna have to pay all the upfront fees.
And
you're
okay
willing to do that.
I'm okay with that.
So really, but you understand why we went that way, because we do have people that have large amounts that aren't that far down the list.
Don't look at me.
Oh, and I'm not looking at anybody. I'm not looking at anybody, but I'm just saying. We do have that situation, and I know pretty much that not all the, a lot of those lots are going to remain vacant. They're for sale purposes, so they could sell them. They'd say they got water on them already. So that's what we're trying to bring. But thank you for your input.
Well, yeah, and I would add to that, I mean, and that's why we're having the discussion. Is somebody correct me if I'm wrong, but to me this is, option two is better than option one, to me, and doesn't disadvantage anyone, even you, if that were your situation, Diane, because if you're not quite ready to submit plans, you jump right back to the list. And the only way it would impact you is if in the meantime we stopped.
Yes, that could be.
Or that would be the only, but isn't that the only way?
Well,
she could be negatively
or if you release another five and the architect still has the plans, you know, that's the thing. We're at the mercy of the architect and the engineer, you know, so we can't get it there. And we abided by the moratorium and didn't go ahead and build for that reason, you know, because we knew it was a moratorium and, you know, we're not going to rush ahead of somebody else, you know. That's the other thing that's a little irritating because, you know, we waited. Because we were trying to be fair and abide.
I understand.
So if you release five and then release another five and the architect's still not ready, you know, then that's going to push us back and back and back.
It could happen.
And that's why I don't think it's fair. I would rather get my meter, get it done, and then I'll be ready to go.
Okay. So, but you understand why we did the other option, because we could have a situation where for 4 months we're releasing meters and nobody's getting any water. So that's you understand what we're up against
but
here.
But it's still not fair because even if you're not, if you're starting construction, you're not going to have a lot of water anyway.
Well,
you know, so
well actually, as long as you've got a build permit.
Right, that's what I'm saying.
As soon as you get that number, you go to them, you file.
I know.
Then at that point, you'd have a meter installed.
Right, but you're still not going to get a lot of know-how of what water usage is because those people are going to be under construction as
that's,
well.
That's part of my problem.
So it goes back to fairness.
Okay, thank you. Any third options anybody think of? I
have one more question for you. Are you guys set up, so say you guys call me and we have 30 days to pay it. I'm out of town. Are you guys set up where I can just call into the office and use my credit card and get it paid? Or do I have to like rush down, you know?
Let me answer that. The 30 days is not a solid number yet. That's a proposed number. The board's going to have to vote on. The board will have to vote on that. And I believe what we're going to do is to make sure that the person that we know the person was notified, and then start the clock.
And yes, you could pay with credit.
And yes, you could pay with a credit card.
Remote.
But we're not going to. We had a little discussion on this. Of course, there's going to be details that we don't want to be a situation where someone we can't get in touch with someone, and they're on their name comes up on the list, and after 30 days we dump them. We don't want to do that. We're going to make that clock start from the day we know you're informed.
Okay. And then one more question. So, like the lady who was speaking before me. So, I'm technically number five on the list. If I wanted to start, get my meter installed while I'm still building and I still want to pay for all the services and everything in the meantime, can I do that even though there's technically not a house on the lot yet?
You will need an option two, you will need a permit.
Yeah, with option two, you need a permit. With option one, you don't. It just depends which,
yeah.
And I can't tell you which way the board's going to vote right now, so. But your input is appreciated, and we understand.
Okay.
George, I do have a question. I know that during the wait list time period, the rates changed, I believe, for the cost of the meters overall. Some people were supposed to be grandfathered in on that list.
Yes.
And so I just, if you guys can clarify for those of us in the discussion, you know, up to what number, up to what date, because I think if people might move around on the list, can we make sure that if you were, to Diane's point, on the list, got passed up, that if you should have been honored the original price, would you still be honored the original price if you get passed up?
Yes.
Yes.
Okay. And just to clarify that, I figure that would be the answer, but...
All of the people on the list at that June 30th date.
June 30th of 2022, 21?
22.
22. 22. Okay, so just to clarify.
After June 30th, 2022, the new rates went into effect.
Okay, so just it would only affect those people, and then if you're on the list from beforehand, even if you get passed up, you'll still get honored the original
price. Yes, yes, exactly. Your new date isn't... Now it's...
That's what I just want to make sure it's clear for anybody that's here.
Yeah. No, good clarification and good question.
Larry, did you want to say something?
There are going to be some legal challenges to the moratorium, to the list. So my suggestion is until we're going to have to redo the list until we consider the legal challenges. I don't think we should be discussing the list at all.
What legal challenge? Well, I don't, let's talk about that. I'm quite sure where you're going with that. If we follow option one, there should be no legal challenges.
It's just the list.
It's just the list. There should be no legal challenges.
Well, the list does not include some people that are going to be challenging the board.
I can't do anything about that. I'm not going to worry about someone that might be upset later on. If we decide to go with the list, it's going to be the list.
It's been well publicized.
Yeah.
Right?
It's the best. I think in either option, we will still use the list, right?
Yeah, the list isn't going away.
No.
No, it wasn't. It was never going to go away. We were just trying to figure out ways that, you know, it's like one way becomes more equitable to one group, one way becomes more equitable to another one, and it's, you know. And you might have a good point, you might have to stick with one, but the board's got to vote on it. No decision's been made. So remember I said no decisions, no votes are going to happen. This is just information only. That's why we can talk, which is a good thing.
I want to do what's best for the community.
Of course. Okay, so any other options anybody got? Please, if someone online has an option, they want and got an idea of doing it differently, you now know what the two options we have here on the table are. Please send it in to Victor. He's our communications guy. He can tell us about it.
I'll pass it along.
Pass it along.
The only other suggestion I ever had was to create a deposit to remain on the list. And I don't know if that is something that you guys would even consider.
I believe we talked to our
first board meeting. We presented that.
Yeah. I mean, because I feel like people, they're probably whittled down the list substantially if a deposit was required to be on the list. But that's just...
But then it kind of gets to be, is it fair to... For those that might not have the money, you know, or someone that's got more money than the others, and I don't. What the problem we have with a lawyer they're talking about is how we can receive that money and keep it.
There should be a mutual trust account.
Yeah, we can't really do that because we're a government entity. Mm-hmm. We're not a private business, so we could probably consider that easier.
In a way, Rebecca, the option one takes care of that,
okay.
Right?
Fair
because
enough.
You just pay it
sure.
up front, right? On the other one, you still pay it, but you just need a permit. So essentially, but in a way, it's taken care of with either option.
Our accounting system is pretty complicated. We already have deposits on all the customers, and we can't set up a new service for a customer without a meter number. We can't issue a meter number until the meter is issued. So we can't take deposits ahead of time because we can't record them.
So I knew there was other reasons.
Yeah. Plus, it's very complicated, and we don't want to get into any more complications.
Yeah, we've had enough complications. Any other questions? Flip the last slide. Okay, so final, next steps. We did the discussion. We had a discussion on the meter release plan. Finally, my final step, I believe, is for the board to determine to put an item on next Thursday's agenda for a vote.
It can't go on the agenda until we discuss the moratorium in executive session.
That's true.
That's exactly true.
Yeah.
Okay, we have an executive session beforehand.
Yeah, we just have an executive session before next next week's meeting.
That's fine. The next meeting.
Yeah. I hate all those rules, by the way.
So we discuss it in executive session, and then...
Then we'd add that to... So we're...
We discuss it in executive session, but we put the items on the agenda to approve stuff from the executive
session. Yeah, okay.
Got it.
Perfect.
So it gets on the agenda.
Yes.
Okay, so that's it. That's all I got.
Great job.
That's it? Yeah.
Any questions?
Are you a horse? You need some
money? No, I'm not, but I one thing I want to finish with. The deep well and more water sources are required for, we don't have unlimited growth. If another 500 people came to us and say, I'm building more property, we don't have a water supply there. So I'm thinking we're going to make it halfway through the list before the new well, actually about 60, 65 meters. By the time we get the new well, depending on how the new well performs, will determine how much further we can go. If it performs great, like Paul says it's going to,
guaranteed.
then there is always a possibility at that point. If we look at it and we get 250 gallons per minute, you know, it's just outrageous. We could look at saying, okay, we're gonna release not 5 meters a month, but we're gonna release up to this point where we know we're safe, and it might be 50, 100 meters. But the future really holds that we have to know what that hard number is, how many more meters we can release before we have to stop. And that's where we want to get.
How many people are on the list?
180?
180.
Yeah. Right. I want to clarify for the public.
Yes.
Go back to the current supply versus demand chart. It looks really impressive, doesn't it?
Yeah.
We're closing in. That little gap is 4,200 gallons per minute.
Right.
What's our best well producing right now?
85.
So, gambling on our new well, don't hold your breath, folks.
I didn't understand the first part.
You were just saying that. Okay.
That little gap in supply versus demand is 4,200 gallons per minute.
Right.
And our best well does not produce anywhere near.
But it's not supply and demand. It's supply and supply.
Mm-hmm. Yes. The only difference between the red and the blue line, Larry, is that sometimes we have, when I look at all the wells and what their outputs are, mm-hmm. sometimes we have a well that's out, that's down for repair. So I just wanted to see, what is the gap, where? How often do we have wells down, and what is that gap? That's all that is. Yep. So you can see we don't have many gaps. That's not that big a gap.
Thank you, George.
Thank you, George.
So much work, and we will have it on the executive session agenda. We'll have it on the general agenda for our meeting next week. That is. Can I have a thanks for attending? Thanks online for coming. Thank you very much. We'll convene those meetings next week. Let me have a motion to adjourn this meeting.
Motion to adjourn.
All right, second.
Thanks, Roger. All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed, nay. We are adjourned.